Allstate wants to remind fans that mayhem is everywhere. Like when your fantasy league meets up at your house. Everything's great until the hot plate gets too hot for the tablecloth. Now your kitchen's up in smoke. And if you don't have the right home insurance coverage, the cost to fix this is anything but a fantasy. So switch to Allstate, save money, and get protected from mayhem like this. Not available in every state. Based on coverage selected, subject to terms, conditions, and availability. Savings vary.
The NBA playoffs are here, and we all know playoff mode is a thing. Listen to the evidence. Playoff crowds are going wild. Playoff players are lighting up the court. Even your speakers are in playoff mode. Okay, we'll take it down a notch, but just a notch, because this is the Turn It Up to 11 NBA playoffs. Playoff mode is clearly a thing. The NBA playoffs presented by Google Pixel continue on ABC, ESPN, TNT, and NBA TV.
The DFS Studio is brought to you by DraftKings. Welcome to the Fantasy Footballers DFS and Betting Podcast with your hosts, Kyle Borgannoni and Matthew Betts.
Welcome in. Friday, October 13th. It's a bit spooky here, Fantasy Footballers DFS and Betting Podcast. I am your host, Kyle Borgannoni, and I am joined, as always, by Matthew. Just shove it, Betts.
I don't know why you're being so mean to me, Kyle. I mean, it's not my fault that the Braves decided not to show up in Game 3. Now, I want to congratulate you on the win for Game 4. Awesome performance by Spencer Strider and the Braves, and the Phils just couldn't get it going. So congrats on the win. We're recording this on Thursday afternoon, so we actually don't know the results, but I did want to congratulate you early, Kyle, because I want to see Game 5, so I'm happy for your Braves. Early congratulations. Your pizza is on the way to congratulate you on the win.
You know, this tactic that some of you saw on social media, it's the early congratulation. It's the double reverse jinx. I thought about coming on this podcast and saying that to you, my friend. But I know my Braves, and I know that they did come through. I don't need to jinx you. I don't need to throw anything your way, because I know that Spencer Strider and his mustache, it's full beard right now. But I know that he went 8 strong. I know that my Braves, you know, came through and won by 40. Like, it was a couple of touchdowns worth, at least. And we'll be talking about it later. But it's been a fun week for our friendship. Fun and also terrible, because I feel like I've stressed out more than you.
It's been a very stressful week, I'm not going to lie. Especially when we were texting during Game 2, when, man, it looked like the Phillies had that one in the bag, and you just...
I was the lowest of low.
Yeah, and you just came out hot at the end. So it's been a fun series. As a baseball fan, I kind of wanted to go 5 games. As a Phillies fan, for my stress levels, I would love it if it ended tonight for Game 4.
Yeah, and so if you're here and you're like, why are you guys talking baseball? Well, it's October, and October baseball is awesome if you've never gotten to enjoy it before. And growing up, I had a lot, and I mean a lot of October baseball being a Braves fan. So I have very good memories listening to Braves game on the radio. But if you're listening to this podcast, you are interested in week 6. So Betts and I will be breaking down the main slate, giving our cash picks, the games we want to stack. We're going to prop it like it's hot. I'm going to give you a slate breaker that, I mean, I'm torn, and yet I am so confident that this slate breaker this week will just, you know, smash. So we're here for you if you want to play with us. We have our DraftKings League. If you want to talk to us and talk with our people in the community, our Discord channel today, I went back and forth I just simply asked this question. What do you guys think about Joe Mixon? Because I have about 20 stats that tell me one thing and 20 stats that tell me another. So I love getting to talk out things with our people, to give our prop alerts. You know, we got this morning, I fired off some Kadarius Toney props. Nothing like that in the morning. So, yeah, it's a good time, right?
Dude, I'm not going to lie. I had a little slow start to the day today, just with the kids and getting their breakfast ready. And Kyle has messaged me left and right. I mean, he's firing from the hip. Prop after prop after prop. I'm like, dude, I haven't had coffee yet. Meanwhile, Kyle's like 4 cups deep, just firing off props. So yeah, we charge, you know, we always joke, it's an extra $0.00 for our premium subscription picks. Our gold star locks of the week, those 5 unit plays that are guaranteed to hit. You can get those for free in the DFS Pass as part of your purchase.
Yeah, dfspass.com. Once again, we think it's a smoking hot deal. We go all the way through the playoffs. I was planning out my schedule bets in January with a friend. Okay, today I was talking about some stuff in January. I was like, you know what? My job eases up because we don't do five shows a week on the main show, but DFS keeps rolling. Like I was actually planning out and saying, you know what? All the way through the playoffs, you and I get to talk on the mic. We have content for people in the DFS Pass. So we keep on rolling. So dfspass.com, promo code DFSPOD if you want to get in on that. But let's talk cash.
Straight cash, homie.
And a little Easter egg for those, if you're watching Monday's main show episode on the YouTube channel, Mike the Fantasy Hitman Wright was wearing a Straight Cash Homie shirt. Randy Moss, right?
It was beautiful.
Yeah, YouTubers, they love that stuff. Quarterback this week, on this show on Tuesday, we said, hey, Matthew Stafford, Gardner Minshew, those guys work in cash. Are we still there?
Yeah, not much has changed since our Tuesday show. Those are my two favorite plays. I think if you're making me pick one, I'm going to take the guy that is $1,000 cheaper in Gardner Minshew. And, you know, there's really nothing negative to say about Matthew Stafford. We're going to talk about that game. It's just the savings, right? And on this slate, I want to play, you know, one of the 7K running backs probably. I definitely want to play either Tyreek or Chase or maybe both. And so to do that, to fit those guys, you need the salary savings at quarterback. So I think Gardner Minshew is the play. We talked a lot about that on Tuesday. But this is a game environment that I really like. We're going to talk about that game stack. And Jacksonville, you brought this up multiple times. They've been very good against the run. They've been pretty suspect against the pass. He's got weapons, right? Jonathan Taylor is back in the lineup. Michael Pittman has played well this year. Josh Downs has been a very nice surprise for that team. So I'm in. I don't think you have to overthink this. I think Gardner Minshew is a rock solid cash play.
Yeah. And just to put some numbers to it. So he's 5K. Would you be happy with 14 points from Gardner Minshew?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, in the DFS past, I wrote at 5K, we're looking for 15-ish points, right? Okay. And if he gives you 15 to 20, that's perfect. If he does come out and have an outlier great game, you're going to need him in cash, certainly, if he goes for 20 plus. So yeah, 15 is kind of the hope that we get. I think it's very doable.
Yeah, I think just these two, Stafford, Minshew, 60%+ of cash lineups will have one of these guys, like just combining their roster percentage. So I don't think you have to get cute. There are people that love Justin Fields this week, and I understand it against the Vikings and the way that he's played the last 2 weeks. 7,300 is more expensive, so you're definitely getting up there. So that's the only other one that I've even entertained this week other than these two. And my builds have mostly been Stafford and Minshew. So I think Stafford is safe. He's fun to double stack in tournaments. On FanDuel, I want to throw out, if you want to do Tua, you want to pay up for Tua, it's fine. Trevor Lawrence is more of a tournament play. We'll talk about him. I think he's one of my favorite tournament quarterbacks this week. But you really don't have to get too cute. Like Stafford and Minshew are the two plays this week because of what it affords you. Like you can get two stud wide receivers this week in by playing Minshew. So running back is a different conversation because I think there's one play that everyone will have, Raheem Mostert, and then you could convince me in about five other directions. So is Mostert like, lock him in? I don't understand if you're not playing him this week.
I wouldn't go as far as to say that. I mean, he's 6.4, so he's definitely affordable. It's not, you know, super expensive. It's also not cheap, right? Like sometimes we get these 5K backs that you're like, you've got to jam him in, no questions asked. That said, we're still waiting on official Jeff Wilson news. If Jeff Wilson does not come back for this game, then I would say Raheem Mostert almost certainly is going to be my lineup at 6.4, taking on the Panthers at home. They are 13.5-point favorites as of our recording. They've got the highest team total on the slate. This is the most explosive offense in the league, and Carolina is literally dead last in EPA per rush attempt allowed. Look to last week with David Montgomery just did this team. So, yeah, I don't really think you can poke any holes. I mean, do you have any concerns at all about a potential Jeff Wilson return? Like, would that sway you towards a mix-in for $100 cheaper or, like, up to an ETN, for example? Like, what are your thoughts on that situation?
Not at all. Just because we've seen him with Achane, like, crush. Like, he's crushed with two running backs in the mix. And I tweeted this out earlier this week, but Raheem Mostert, Back-to-back years has been top 10 in route rate for running backs. So how often a running back is running a route on pass plays. Achane was at 98%, which is just wild. Like, there's been only one pass play that he was on the field this year that he wasn't running a route. And then Mostert's right behind him, like at number two. So you're getting passing work. And before, we kind of always thought Mostert was like an early down grinder. That's just all he was, like, you know, with San Francisco. But like, he's catching passes too. So I think his price is fine. Like, he should be priced way up, but it is what it is. So 6.4, he seems really safe. And then David Montgomery is not showing up as high in tournaments, like in terms of roster percentage, but at 7.3, his role feels so solid. And this Tampa Bay run defense is different than what it was a year or two ago. Like, in my mind, I went into this matchup going like, okay, well, Tampa Bay's always been a tough team to run on, kind of like the Titans. You just kind of categorize them that way. They're dead last in PFF's rush defense grade, which shocked me. And I've looked in a couple different places. So I think Monty feels safe at 7.3.
Yeah, and we're still waiting for official Jahmyr Gibbs news, so just monitor that. Right now, I think it's safe to project him unlikely to play. Of course, that could change, but he's been missing practice. This hamstring injury is new as of last Friday. So yeah, man, I mean, and even if Gibbs is active, right? Like, I think Monty is still in play, whether you want to play him in tournaments or in cash. I do think he is rock solid in cash. Like you said, the matchup on paper feels like, oh, the Bucks are great. They're allowing 4.9 yards per carry to opposing running backs, and Montgomery's touch counts this season are 21, 17 in a game that he left early because of injury, 34, and 21. And in cash, we care about volume and a goal line role, and Montgomery has that in one of the best offenses in football. They are favored in this game, so you should see, again, a positive game script. I love Montgomery this week.
So are you entertaining three running back builds? Because I like right now, my lineup has Mostert. I'm assuming most people's does. It has a David Montgomery, or I think Travis Etienne is fine at 7.1. Alvin Kamara is fine at 6.8. Like, are you entertaining three running backs in cash?
Yeah, I think you have to, because there's so many good running back plays. Like, truthfully, I think it's hard to kind of, you know, decipher these guys because they're not that far apart in salary. When you go from Monty to Etienne to Mostert to Mixon, you mentioned Kamara, like, they're all kind of right there. I think it's very much in play for a three running back build type week. I don't think you have to, because we'll talk about some wide receiver plays that I also really like. But yeah, I think certainly three running back builds are viable this week.
Yeah, Joe Mixon's the other name I want to throw out. 6.3 on DraftKings. At 7K on FanDuel, I think he's a better play. The only problem with Joe Mixon is the matchup, which we'll talk about, which is Seattle's been really good against the run, quietly, really, really good against the run. And then there's this other guy on their team called Jamar Chase that I'm going to put in my lineup. Let's be honest. Like, the matchup's great. He's awesome. And I feel like we've talked about him every single week. It used to be we talked about T. Higgins on this podcast, but because he hasn't been playing, we just can't talk about him. And so we just talk about Jamar Chase every single week and say, play him. So any last thoughts? Let me add this in. If you knew Roschon was active, he's 4.6. Are you entertaining that?
It's tough because I don't think you need it. Like, I think some slates were like desperate for value. This slate, I think there's some solid wide receiver value, which we'll talk about, that, you know, you can fit guys like KJ Osborne in full PPR. I'm going to talk about Robert Woods in a second. It's gross, but at 3.8, yeah, he's in play. Bobby Trees, he's back. He's in play with Tank Dell, likely to miss with a concussion. So I don't think you need to go there, because these other running backs, I feel like, are safer projected workloads. They're not really dealing with a elite rushing quarterback that can steal the goal line stuff. You know, with Mostert, that isn't in play with Tua. With Mixon, that's not really in play with Joe Mixon, or with Joe Burrow, excuse me. Obviously, Jared Goff's not stealing goal line work. So like, that's the concern with Roschon. That said, he is priced to account for that sort of stuff. He's still in concussion protocol, so I think it's trending more likely he misses. We'll see. But that's one to monitor this week, of course, with the injury. We also want to throw out, too, Miles Sanders. Looks like he's trending to either be very limited or out in this game. Chuba Hubbard is 4.3K this week. Any interest in him as a punt for cash games?
I feel so silly, because early in the week, I wrote him up, and you would have seen it in the DFS pass, as a dart throw. Like I said, even if Sanders is active, he might be limited on a snap count or whatever. I liked Chuba Hubbard as a dart throw because he's been getting the passing work. He's been targeted on 17% of his routes. Miami, as a rush defense, is giving up the fourth highest first down rush rate. So it's sneaky. But like you said, there's so many other running backs this week. I have to ask myself the question, like, what does Chuba Hubbard's ceiling look like? And his price is great. So that's like the tempting thing. But like, Chuba Hubbard, can he hit 25 points bets in a tournament?
I mean, I'd be shocked. If he hits 25 points, he's going to take a ton of receptions in a negative game script, and he'll have to hit, you know, the end zone at least once.
Yeah, it's a fun play in cash. I just don't think you need to go there with enough value on the slate. There's like Christian McCaffrey. We're not even talking about him. If you want to play him, do it. It's on the road against Cleveland, who's been arguably the best defense in the league, best rush defense. So we don't love overvaluing matchups. Like, that's one of those things where if you want to play Christian McCaffrey in a tournament, do it. Because a lot of people aren't playing him this week, but in cash, he's so expensive that builds this week don't really need him the way they need him in others. And the game environment's at 37.5 last time I looked at it. Like, this, if this is a different game going back and forth, we'd love it. But so yeah, I'm not in on that. At wide receiver, I'm gonna give you a really hard task, because the three studs this week, you know, and I'll throw in Devontae Adams, he's a stud. Tyreek Hill at 9,300, Cooper Kupp at 9K, Jamar Chase at 8.3K, so that's a value, and Devontae Adams at 8.1K. If you're factoring in salary and you're factoring in the games, put those four in order in cash. Like, is Chase at the top?
Yeah, Chase is at the top at 8.3. I prefer him to Devontae Adams straight up. And then when you factor in salary and the savings you get off of Tyreek Hill, which is almost $1,000, and Cooper Kupp, I think he is the top play on the slate. I mean, especially if T. Higgins doesn't play. But you talked about the matchup for Joe Mixon being decently difficult. Like, Seattle's been very good. If you go back to weeks 1 through 3 for Seattle before they played Daniel Jones and the Giants that fell on their face in primetime, they were 27th in pass EPA on defense. And on the year, even factoring in that game and a missed week because of a bye week, they're still allowing the 10th most wide receiver yards in the NFL. So Jamar Chase is my top play on the slate. I think he's going to be ranked for both of us as the top play.
Yes.
This week, I think he's borderline a lock, given that we have value to go down on the board this week. And you can get up to him if you're playing Gardner Minshew. If you're playing one of the 3 or 4K wide receivers, you can definitely fit Chase, I think, very comfortably.
He should be 9,000.
Yeah.
Like,
coming off what, 19 targets?
Yes. And nothing wrong with Cooper Kupp, but like, he's 9,000. And he has somebody competing for targets, at least, like, you know, relatively speaking, Puka Nacua. So if I were to put an order, it's Chase. And then I'd still probably put Tyreek, just because their team implied total's nuts. Cooper Kupp. And then Devontae Adams, I think, is a better tournament play. I don't think I can play him in cash. But those are four studs. I don't blame you if you want to put any of those guys. I think you can build this week where you can get two of them in. I think it's possible if you wanted to get, you know, Chase and Kupp or Chase and Hill, you can do that. Let's talk about more of the value guys, the 6K, 5K, and then we'll find some absolute punts. I'm into Calvin Ridley this week at 6.7. I'm just figuring out, is this somebody that I like enough to play in cash? Because he crushed the Colts in week 1. We'll preview that game in a second, but his price is fine. The matchup says they're going to throw deep. He's getting a ton of deep targets. So I like his price at 6.7. It's at a spot where it's like, I can fit that in.
Yeah, I think Ridley's awesome this week. I've just found it kind of tough because there are some rock solid 5K price tags. And it's sort of a, like you always mention on the pod, it's kind of a decision tree. It's like, well, if you do this, then you probably can't do this. Or if you make this decision, you are, you know, going down this path of your player pool. And I feel like if you do play Ridley, it's tougher to jam those elite guys at the top. So I think my preference is to drop down to Christian Kirk, his teammate, and or Marquise Brown in the 5K range. For Kirk, week 1, now this was against the Colts. That was when he had his worst game. But that was with Zay Jones in the lineup. Zay Jones is projecting out this week. We'll see on him if he's out. Christian Kirk should be rock solid. He's averaging 10 targets since that week 1 game, since he's finally kind of been consistent. He's been the dude, and over 80 receiving yards is his average over the last month of the season. So at 5.4 in a game environment you like, I love that. The Colts also allowing the third most PPR points to opposing slot wide receivers. Christian Kirk lining up in the slot a lot. So I like this spot for both guys, Ridley and Kirk. And then as far as Marquise Brown, like, I mean, he just keeps getting it done, right? And Josh Dobbs has his flaws as an NFL passer, but he knows where to go with the ball, and it is to Marquise Brown. So over 8 targets per game, 41% of the team's air yards, Marquise Brown's been great. And without James Conner in a negative game script as a 7-point underdog, I think they're going to have to throw against the Rams. So I like both guys at 5.4 and 5.3 for Kirk and Marquise Brown.
With Hollywood, it's like his price is just not moving. Like, he's the wide receiver 29 in salary. And yet when you factor in targets and, like you mentioned, air yards, he's kind of more like a top 12 guy. Like, that's what he should be on this slate. So he's a good value. Adam Thielen at 5.9. I don't blame anybody if they want to keep going over that direction. Part of me just wants to see it not happen, but just letting my bias known. And then Robert Woods is not a name I think we've mentioned once on this podcast at all. And earlier this week, Betts and I were talking, and then I sent out something in the Discord that said, hey, here's how I sort by wide receivers each week. Take the salaries, take the target share, and I come up with a simple little metric. And Robert Woods was sitting at the top of that list. And when we got news of Tank Dell, it's kind of like, okay, well, he's cash viable, right? 3.8?
Yeah, what does he have to do at 3.8? Give you 8 points, 9 points, and you'd probably be decently happy if the rest of your studs go off. So yeah, is it sexy? No, of course not. Is there a lot of upside? Not really. But very quietly, 23.1% target share for Robert Woods this year. And CJ Stroud has been playing well, right? So that's what it comes down to, is the fact that Tank Dell is likely to miss this game. It's a tough matchup. New Orleans has been great on defense this year. So I think if he does come in as a very popular play in tournaments, I'd love to try to come underweight or potentially fade. But in cash games, for what he does for your lineup, I think he's rock solid.
Yeah, Josh Downs, another player. If you want to add him in your pool, 4.1, that's fine. It really comes down to you're playing a stud, you know, hopefully that's how you're building, and then you're finding somebody in the middle range or another stud, and then you're finding another cheap player because you're going to have to punt somewhere. And beyond Gardner at 5K is probably a cheap wide receiver or a cheap tight end that we're going to talk about. So think about those there on FanDuel. Cooper Kupp is 8.7. I love that price there. And Calvin Ridley, 7K. So both those guys, much better values on those sites. At tight end, go in the 3K range, pick Logan Thomas or Zach Ertz, a bunch of old dudes, and log out.
So funny, dude. We're like, you know, on this specific week, we're like, man, Raheem Mostert, he looks awesome. Robert Woods, he looks awesome. Logan Thomas, Zach Ertz, all the olds, Adam Thielen. This is a show for Andy Holloway, by the way. He loves the olds. Are in play. But yeah, man, I mean, if you're punting this week, those are my two favorite options. Truthfully, I don't think there's a lot of edge in like one of the two. I don't think there's a quote unquote better play. Logan Thomas has been seeing overall more volume. Zach Ertz, I think we like the game environment a little bit better. So yeah, you're splitting hairs. I think they're $100 difference. So I think either one is totally fine. You have Evan Ingram on the list though. If you do want to spend up a little bit, what are your thoughts on him this week?
Yeah, I think Ingram, I want a piece of the Jaguars offense this week. We like that game environment. So if you're not playing Ridley, I think Ingram's fine at 4.5. I think he's a really good play on FanDuel at 5.5. Like last week was a dud, but his target share is over 20%. So for any tight end, that's pretty good. You're going to buy in that way. I did want to point out that on FanDuel, Sam Laporta is priced as the tight end one. It shocked me.
Kind of deserving though, right? I mean, on a slate without Kelsey, Mark Andrews in the London game, so it makes sense to me.
Yeah, just in case, if you don't play on both sides, FanDuel does a much better job of adjusting week to week, where DraftKings is like a slow build for some of these players, or just some players like Marquise Brown. Hey, he's 5.3, and that's where he's going to live. So, Evan Ingram, last question, would you play Hollywood and Ertz in cash together?
I don't love that. I think it's fine. I would probably be trying to figure out ways to not do that, though, personally. I think there's a little bit more just risk when you do that. So I think it's fine if like it fits and that's kind of the way you want to build. But I think if I'm trying to figure out the most edge, I'd be trying not to do that. One other one that I just thought of, Kyle, to throw out. We're still waiting on Mike Evans. Do you think Cade Otton at 3.2 is in play against the Lions, who historically have been kind of bad against tight ends?
I am a huge Cade Otton stan. Huge fan, dude. I've been talking about Cade Otton since before he was born. Yeah, no, I'm for it. He runs routes. That's all I care about, and he's cheap.
And so, Lions, second most yards allowed to tight ends this year.
Yeah, and they have two members of their secondary now on IR. Like, I think he's a fine play. And like you mentioned, like if you need to save a little bit more, he's in the pool. At defense, New England? Like, that's who I've got in right now.
Yeah, I mean, 2.6, like Kyle and I always say, we're trying to save money here because it's the least important position when you're talking about cash games. So, yeah, I mean, the Patriots know Josh McDaniels very well. The Patriots know Jimmy Garoppolo very well. So I think they're fine if you want to punt there. I also think for $100 more, you could get up to Detroit. They're 2.7. I think they're fine in this spot against Baker Mayfield. We'll see, you know, as the slate unfolds and as you build your lineups. We mentioned so many values, right? At tight end, at wide receiver. Like, I think it's possible that you could fit in a 3K defense this week. I don't think you have to, but if you can get up to the Dolphins, like against Bryce Young and the Panthers at 3,500, they are also very much in play.
Yes. My key point I want to give is that in tournaments, get weird this week with defense, people. Like, there's so many different options out there that will give you a different combination than everybody else. So for instance, like if you wanted to play the Dolphins, 3,500, do it. If you wanted to play the Vikings and you say, hey, Justin Fields has multiple turnovers, do it. If you want to play the Falcons against Sam Howell, who's been, you know, a sad sack all year long, and they throw at the highest rate in the league, do that. If you want to play the 49ers because they're trotting out PJ Walker, well, we don't have that news right now. Like, it's 4K, it's expensive. I get it. Nobody's going to be playing them. So get weird on defense. I think it's fun. On FanDuel, if you want to punt, the Texans are 3.7 at home against the Saints. I think that is totally fine. Any last thoughts on defense?
No, I think you covered it.
All right. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
The NBA playoffs are here, and we all know playoff mode is a thing. Listen to the evidence. Playoff crowds are going wild. Playoff players are lighting up the court. Even your speakers are in playoff mode. Okay, we'll take it down a notch, but just a notch, because this is the turn it up to 11 NBA playoffs. Playoff mode is clearly a thing. The NBA playoffs presented by Google Pixel continue on ABC, ESPN, TNT, and NBA TV.
All right, Betts, we've got four games, and we're going to blitz through them real quick because my son is going to get off the bus, and we need to end this on time. Let's do it.
Stack attack.
That's the part about podcasting that people don't know is that there's other things going on. We're juggling, you know, just as dads in the midst of
dad
a
life,
playoff.
Baby.
Yeah, dad life in the midst of playoff baseball. First game is Carolina at Miami. Miami is a 13.5 point home favorite. The over and under is 48.5. And Miami straight up kills it. They have 93 plays of 10 plus yards, which is breaking my brain that it even works that way. My question is, can Carolina do enough that we even care about them in this game as a bring back?
Yes and no. And the reason I say yes and no is because I think they probably have, I mean, as their team implied total says, maybe two touchdowns. But like, are they a key piece of the slate? Certainly not. Bryce Young has been arguably one of the worst starting quarterbacks in the league in his young career. Now he travels as a 13.5 point underdog. So it's tough, man. I think it's really tough. We can keep the conversation, I think, very short on the Carolina side. I'm scared of Chuba Hubbard if he is a popular play. I want to get underweight the field if he is going to be chalk. Adam Thielen, I think, is fine, but at some point, he's not going to do it, right? So if you want to fade him in tournaments, like, that's totally viable. I think DJ Chark is interesting as a leverage play, especially when you consider where he's at in pricing, right? Robert Woods is 3,800. KJ Osborne is kind of right in this range. So if you're looking for a price point pivot this week where they're going to have to throw, no doubt, against Miami, DJ Chark is 4K and quietly, the Dolphins are allowing a 71% completion rate this season. So DJ Chark is in play.
A PPP, a price point pivot. I love it.
Oh, there you go.
He led the team in routes. DJ Chark, you just need a big play. I think Mingo's interesting too. I just think if you're going to go this route, I would only use it in large field tournaments where you're hoping for these guys to be, I don't know, 3% rostered, something like that. And you're saying, I'm going to double stack the Miami side. And then the bring back on the Carolina side is DJ Chark catches the touchdown or Mingo does. You're not asking for Mingo or Chark to like hit 25 points, but if they catch a touchdown, they get 16, 18 points, whatever. You are super happy. So on the Dolphins side, are you entertaining Tua, Tyreek, and Waddle together? Or Tua, Mostert, Tyreek?
I don't think I'm going to go there on Tyreek and Waddle together. Just because, like, I mean, we're 5 weeks in. It is a small sample, but these guys have not performed well together outside of last week, and it took a Waddle touchdown to do it on 10 targets. So I think it's one or the other for me. I think I'm interested in playing maybe Raheem with one of these guys because we've seen, like you said, Achan and Tyreek go off together. Look at last week, right? We've seen Raheem and Tyreek go off together early in the season. So for me, I think you just say, look, they hit their team implied total. They score 30 plus points. They're key pieces of the slate. They've got the ceiling that you want. I don't think you have to get cute. I think it's those guys for me. I think Tua is totally fine as a tournament quarterback, but I like a lot of the 6K guys this week in pricing, so I find it tough for me to get there in my hand builds and smaller field stuff. But I definitely want to play Raheem. I definitely want to play a lot of Tyreek.
What are you going to do with Jeff Wilson if he's active? Because I am staring at him and going, man, 4,600. He falls into the end zone. He ends up with 80 plus yards. And you're like, wow, this is a good week. And they might use him as a hammer, you know, in the second half. Or I don't know how they're going to do it. I expect the Dolphins to hit their team implied total because, well, they do it every single week. So any interest in Jeff Wilson, or is that one of those galaxy brain things that people say, ooh, this is exactly how it's going to go because I've seen Jeff Wilson in the past?
Yeah, it's tough, right? When you haven't seen that player on the field yet, and he's coming off of injury, and he missed a decent amount of time in camp as well, so it's sort of tough to get there. I think it is a little galaxy brainy, if that's a word, but if he's going to be, you know, 4 or 5%, like, there are crazier things you can do on the slate. So I think it is interesting. We just got to monitor that news and see if we can get an idea as to what his workload is going to be.
If you wanted to do Mostert and the Dolphins defense and get out of here, don't mind it at all. I do think the Dolphins won't be, you know, like, people are going to play them. It's not just going to be, they're not going to be the defense that no one does. So keep that in mind. But my lean for my Vegas take is to take the under of 48.5.
I also lean that way, but it's not because of the Dolphins. It is because the Panthers. I'm going to take the over on 31 implied points for Miami.
Next game is Arizona at Los Angeles. The Rams, their team implied total is 27.5. That's pretty good. 7-point home favorites, and the over-under is 48. We love the Rams because it's pretty simple. Like, it's this team throws the ball. They're third in neutral pass rate. They're seventh in pass rate over expectation. And they're number one in plays per game. So Matthew Stafford double stacks, log out. That is so clean and clear. Where if you want to play Stafford, Cup, and somebody else, or Stafford, Puka, and Kyren, I'm fine with that too. Kyren and Puka have insane correlation with Stafford so far. Small sample size, but like, Puka's is 0.97 with Stafford in five games. That is 1-to-1 almost. It's not real. So, do you have a lean on how you want to stack, and are you actively trying to go overweight the field?
So it's tricky, right? Because naturally you would say, okay, I want Cooper Kupp and I want Puka with Stafford, but man, that's so expensive. So these guys have to just go bonkers to hit that. So I think it's a one or the other situation, meaning if you're playing Stafford, you pick one of Kupp or you pick Puka, who I think are both awesome plays. I really like Cooper Kupp though this week. I'll talk about him a little bit later on.
Whoa.
The slate. Okay, now. Hey, now. But at 9K, we talked about it, right? It's like everyone wants to play Chase for obvious reasons. Davante Adams is hanging out there. Tyreek Hill is hanging out there. So, like, I think if there's one guy who kind of gets lost in the shuffle a little bit, it might be Cooper Kupp. So I love him on the slate. Arizona just doesn't have anyone capable of covering him. And 71% of Stafford's completions are going to wide receivers. That is the third highest rate in football. So I think you need one of these guys with Stafford. And then I think it's a single stack week because of the fact that they're so expensive. Or you could get off the board in a large field and sprinkle in some Tutu if you want. I also don't hate the Kyren take. Like, normally we kind of advocate against stacking your running back with your quarterback. But in that scenario, you're saying he's involved as a pass catcher and the Rams hit their team implied total. So that's kind of how I'm looking at this one.
Keep in mind, Stafford, right now we have projected as the most popular quarterback on the slate for tournaments. So, and it makes sense, right? Like, he's not that expensive. You're hoping for the 300-yard bonus, and you're hoping they just destroyed the Cardinals. So I just wonder if you're running into a roster percentage issue with this game because of Stafford, Cup, Hollywood. Like, those three right there will be a common combination. I'm not going to figure out the running backs from Arizona. Sorry, DeMercado. Michael Wilson blew it last week. And then Zach Ertz, I hate playing in tournaments. So I don't know. I just don't know how to get different other than Kyren in this game.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. I mean, we have been talking about Puka as if, like, oh, he's such an obvious good play. But you think about, we already said the wide receiver plays on the slate. I'm seeing right now Puka projected for under 6%. He looks like an awesome way to get different in this game.
Yeah. Okay. Do you think that people are at the point where it's like, okay, I'm going to invest in Cup because it's going to regress. But 8K's, I mean, 8K is a lot. Like, you need Puka to hit 26 points?
You mean what he's done every week? No, but in all seriousness, with Cup back, even last week, he still saw over 30% of the targets. So it is these two guys, and I don't think you really can go wrong. I mentioned, I think Cup will fall through the cracks a little bit, but I don't mean he's going to be contrarian. I just mean he might be like 15% instead of, you know, 30 that Chase is going to be, or like 25 that Tyreek is going to be. And that's not unique, but sometimes these high ceiling guys, which Cooper Cup has a massive ceiling this week, at 15% are under rostered, relatively speaking. So that's what I meant by that. But yeah, I think it's very simple. I think it's one of those two guys with Stafford this week.
Yeah. Okay, so Puka, lower in roster percentage. We like him in that spot. I would take the Rams. I hate that the number is 7. I wish it was 6.5, but I think I would take the Rams.
I'm going to take the Cardinals to cover this divisional matchup, which is terrifying.
Yeah, no thank you. Indianapolis at Jacksonville. We've seen this game before. It was in week 1. And Jacksonville won 31-21. This week, the over-under is 45.5. Jacksonville is a 4-point home favorite. And with Indianapolis, we have a revenge game for Gardner Minshew. I get asked sometimes, does that have any bearing on the stats? Betts is nodding his head, yes. I'm just trying to say as blunt as possible, no, it doesn't.
Kyle, it is the most important metric we track. Come on.
There are some metrics that I'd love to track that are off the wall, but not that one. Indianapolis is weird because they don't throw the ball as much as you want, and yet they play faster than you think. So you get more plays than in reality for a team that's 31st in pass rate over expectation. We like Minshew because it's a different offense. We obviously love Richardson. We wish he was playing, but it makes it really simple. If you're going to pick a Colts player, you're picking either Michael Pittman or Josh Downs as a bring back. For me, from Trevor Lawrence double stacks. Is that how you're seeing it?
Yeah, I mean, we want to get there on the running backs at some point, right? But JT played 15% of the snaps, and you would think that goes up every week, but does it go up to 25, to 50, to 60? Like, you really don't know. So if you want to get crazy and call your shot in a tournament, you can do it. It's just he's not going to project well. It is also a very difficult matchup on the ground. Jacksonville is 4th in rush defense EPA. Meanwhile, they're giving it up through the air. So logically, on paper, it makes sense. I think Pity City at 6,300 is very much in play. Josh Downs at 4,100 is very much in play. And Alec Pierce is currently doing wind sprints on the perimeter, so no thank you.
Poor guy. Like, he's in the bottom 5 targets per out run with your boy MVS, Donovan Peoples-Jones, the boys. Just good
incredible
cardio,
fitness.
Though. Yeah, that's all that matters. Trevor Lawrence, I like him a lot this week. His touchdown rate doesn't matter to me. It's at 2.8%. That should change. I talked about him the other day on the Dynasty podcast. If you want a deeper dive on him, I think it's just easy. I think he's a double stacking candidate with Ridley, who has torn up cover three coverage, which what the Colts use a lot. And then if you want to bring along Ingram as well, I think he's cheap. Like, for being a game that we like, it's crazy that Lawrence, Ridley, Ingram is actually a pretty cheap double stack.
Yeah, I was going to say, I like these stacks because they're very affordable. Like, you could even do, I mean, you mentioned Lawrence, Kirk, Ingram. You could do Lawrence, Ridley, Ingram. You could even fit the two wide receivers with Lawrence. Like, it's very doable this week with all the value we have. So I think we're both in agreement. Like, we love Jacksonville in this spot. I'm going to have, I think, you know, of the 6 to 8 GPP lineups I play, I'll probably have 3 of them or so around Trevor Lawrence. I'm with you. He is a positive regression candidate in the touchdown department. 2.8% touchdown rate this year. He's 7th in the NFL in pass attempts. Like, it's going to bounce back at some point. This is a good spot for him. Absolutely in on Trevor Lawrence.
Any thoughts about ETN? Because his price is fine. He went for 104 total yards in week one against them. I think he's fine. I do want to say Jacksonville's offensive line is not good. And he's actually masked some of their problems this year because sometimes he just is so good in terms of yards before contact, kind of like Achane. It's like, is he awesome? Yes, because their offensive line is fine. He just creates so much space that no one's touching him, and ETN's kind of been like that. So I think ETN is fine if you wanted to use him. If you wanted to correlate ETN with Pity City and stack somewhere else, I think that's a fine way of doing this game.
Yeah, I didn't want to like undersell ETN. I think he's an incredible play. I think he's cash viable.
Oh, wow.
I mean, think about workload. 22.6 touches per game, 82% of the running back carries. He's also averaging 4.2 targets per game, and that's part of his game that we've been asking for since he entered the NFL, right? And now we're seeing it. So, yeah, I think he's very much in play. I think it's very close between he and the 6K guys for cash games. So whether it's in cash or in tournaments, I'll have exposure to ETN this week.
All right, give me your Vegas take.
I'm going to take the over in this game. I like the over on 45.5.
I take Jacksonville in the points at home. I'm fine with that. Last game, my favorite of the week, Seattle at Cincinnati. The over-under is 45. Cincinnati's a 3-point home favorite. I just love these teams. Like, I think that the pass rate over expectation is set up really well. Seattle is a hard team to figure out because they've been pretty effective near the goal line running the ball. They haven't been great through the 20s. Like, it's a weird thing where you look at a team and you go, they should just press on the gas throwing the ball because of what they have. But they kind of slog sometimes. And then other times they're super fast. I never can quite figure them out. They were just on bye. So if you want to give a lot of narratives of they worked on a bunch of plays to get JSN involved, do that. I also think Zach Charbonnet might get more involved as the year goes on. But Seattle is interesting because they're cheap. Like DK Metcalf, $6,800. That's cheap. Tyler Lockett, $5,700. Cheap. Kenneth Walker, $6,700. All of these guys are cheap. So if you wanted a Geno double stack and have Chase on the other side, do it. Do it all day. But I think the way that people stack this game more is Burrow, Chase, and I guess Walker or Metcalf.
Yeah, the Lockett price, I was like shocked when I saw it at $5,700. Again, when you think about where the field is going, it is to Marquise Brown, it is to Christian Kirk, and we like those guys for good reason, but players fail every week, right? And if those guys fail and Lockett comes out for his kind of classic 100-yard, two-touchdown game that we know is in his bag, I'm interested. Now, the Bengals are allowing the highest defensive average depth of target in the NFL, so I think there is a lot of ceiling here in this game. So I'm with you. We talked about it early in the week. You were on, I think, Seattle's team total over is one that you like, so yeah, man, this looks a great spot, especially like you said, the value for pricing makes sense on the Seattle side of the ball.
Is there any cheapies in this game? Trent Irwin, people look at last week and say 10 targets. I'm probably not going to chase that. Boyd's interesting, but he's not a freebie, right, at 4,600. I don't love that. Big Irv used to be fun to punt and cash, but it's not there. So anybody else, are you interested in Mixon?
Yeah, I mean, Mixon, we talked about a little bit in cash. I think he's very viable. The tricky thing is, it's one of those, like, the math will say he's a great play, but I just have this feeling. Like, I know he's getting a ton of work. I know he's involved as a receiver. Like, they literally are not involving any other running backs, so I think that is a rock-solid projection. But Seattle, like you said, they've been so good against the run. They're allowing 2.6 yards per carry to backs. That's number one in the NFL. They're number two in rush defense DVOA. And last week, we saw the Bengals have their highest pass rate over expectation week of the entire year. So I just want to lean into the passing game. I don't think Mixon's a bad play. I just think I'll be underweight in field, in terms of tournaments. I think he's a rock solid cash play, though.
Yeah, I look at this game and I agree with you. Like, Mixon will project just fine. And in terms of expectation, he should be a top 12 running back this year. He's the RB21 in half point league. So he's kind of lagged behind. And last year, remember, we had that same narrative and then he has the 5-touchdown game. So I think something like that is coming. So I love his price. I think you could still work him in if you want to get different. But for me, Burrow, Chase, stack that way. And then if you want to bring him back on the other side, we might be talking about Seattle players in just a second. But give me your Vegas take.
I like the Bengals to take care of business here, -3.
Oh, man, I will take the over. It's been bet down, which didn't feel great. It's at 45. So, but those people that put the money on, those are dumb people, right? Those aren't sharps. The sharps are at the end.
Yeah, they don't know anything.
Yeah, you know, the real sharps, the real ones with that move the money, the mattress max of the world, those kind of people, they wait till the very end so the total gets low, and then they bet the over, like real smart people.
Sunday morning. Yeah, dude.
The Sunday morning overs. That's where the money is. All right, now it's time for our slate breaker of the week. And this week, we didn't even have to get a sponsor because I was there. I was at the sponsor's main headquarters. I'm talking about Chili's because I was there. Em and I were watching the Braves game and our kids were at church. So we had a couple hours and I said to myself, I can't watch this game right now. We are getting annihilated. My team may let me down, but Chili's will never. And so I took my wife to Chili's like a good husband and I got a quesadilla explosion salad. You bet I did. So
how many marks?
I didn't get a mark. I'm still getting over my cold stuff. I'm just, not really feeling it, but, they did try to tempt us with the trick or treat margarita, which they didn't pay me to say that, but, I was not interested at all.
That sounds disgusting.
It had little candies on top. No, thank you.
Gross.
But a great product from Chili's, by the way. Betts, why don't you give me yours first?
You know, it's time. It's time for a classic Cooper Kupp break the slate sort of performance. If you watched the game last week against the Eagles, in the first half, he was on fire. He was on pace for over 20 targets in that game, if you look at his first quarter and second quarter. In the second half, the Eagles kind of finally got home with their pass rush. They figured it out, slowed him down. I mean, because the Eagles are great. But Arizona, Kyle, they're 27th in PFF's pass rush grade. They're 31st in pressure rate. Stafford is going to pick them apart, and Cooper Kupp is going to have a massive day. So I want to be overweight the field this week. I think Cooper Kupp breaks the slate.
I wish I could just play Cooper Kupp and Chase and Tyreek and just log out, and that would be the guys. Just play all three of them. I know you can make lineups that way, but...
I was going to say, maybe you put a little Chuba in there, you get contrarian with Jeff Wilson, all of a sudden Bobby Trees at 3,800. I mean, you probably could make it work, actually.
Whatever you need to. My slate breaker this week, what could go wrong, is Kenneth Walker III, 6,700, in the same game as Joe Mixon. What if I told you that he carries a fourth of the roster percentage based on our projections? People aren't playing this guy. I don't really understand. Seattle quietly, very quietly, ranks number one in the league in EPA per rush attempt. And they want to run the ball inside the 10. He has the third most 10 zone carries in the NFL and third in broken tackles per game. And he's quietly been targeted on 23% of his routes. The reason why he's so quiet is because he's been on bye for a week. Okay. So the weak spot for the Bengals defense this year has been the run game. They're 28th in EPA per rush attempt, 26th in PFF rush grades. And if you don't like that stat, they're 5.3 yards per carry ranks, tied for third worst in the NFL. So Kenneth Walker is going to be right now 5%, 6%, 7%, whatever. He's so low.
8%, 9%.
He could be 1, 2, 3, 4, or 5. Kenneth Walker is, I think, a really good play in GPPs this week. Does he break the slate? We hope so. All right, one more segment.
Drop it like it's hot.
All right. If you want to prop it up with us, dfspass.com. And bets, we have a weekly article that we get to update. Fired off some this morning, those AM unders. AM unders with Kyle. That'll be my little coffee shop, coffee show that I do with people. Just like, hey, sip coffee. I am going with Justin Fields. Maybe you've heard of him. Over 25 and a half pass attempts. Last 2 weeks since they've changed the offense, 29, 35. And the team they're playing is the Vikings. That's been a sieve in terms of, you know, what they've given up in the pass game. But keep in mind this. We don't really know who the Bears starting running back is as of this recording. And you might not even know Sunday morning. Is it could be Roshan? Maybe. Is it Foreman? Possibly. They signed Darrington Evans. Whoever it is, it's going to be a mixture. But what we do know is that what's been working is the passing game. And I think that what they'll need is this. So the line's too low, over 25 and a half. You can get that on Underdog as well.
Yeah, I think that's a really good call. You mentioned the running back situation. Even more of a reason to think the over here. So, hey man, overs are more fun. So let's take one more, huh? We took Trevor Lawrence over 14 and a half rushing yards in the DFS pass. And Kyle, I mean, the people. They just moved the lines, dude. It's now at 16 and a half. I still think it's in play. This is just way too low. Like, Trevor Lawrence quietly is fifth in the NFL in rush attempts among all quarterbacks. His stat lines this year are 7 carries, 21 yards in this matchup against the Colts. 5 carries, 26 yards. 3 for 12 was a down week, but then 8 for 42, 7 for 31 over the last 2 weeks. We like this game environment. The Colts play up in pace. We should have more dropbacks for Lawrence. So this line is confusing. It's too low. Give me the over.
And what could be wrong? 2 quarterback overs. There you go. If you want to play with us, go to ballersdfs.com. It will direct you to our DraftKings League, Fantasy Footballers DFS, Borg Plus Bets. You can join our league, play with us, have a ton of fun. And that's going to do it for the show. You're probably wondering, hey, did Kyle actually get to the bus stop to meet his kid? We'll see. Betts, sign us off.
I hope so, dude. Seriously. Oh, man. What a fun episode. Week 6 is here. Good luck to all of you. Come play with us on DraftKings at ballersdfs.com. And more importantly, we'll see you in the DFS Pass. Good luck this weekend. Go Phillies.
Thank you for listening to another edition of the Fantasy Footballers DFS and Betting Podcast. Don't forget to visit us on the web at thefantasyfootballers.com.